We joined the Super Legit crew before the show as Chris Sanders offers some helpful and timely advice.
I'm crunching hard, but don't everybody remember to push your clocks ahead after this.
Push them? Yeah. We gotta push them.
Oh, yes. All of those manual clocks that I still have on the wall. Yeah,
I thought that was sarcastic and Sanders was being helpful.
Right. Yeah. He is being helpful.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like Jet got real snarky.
I appreciate it.
And they're not manual clocks. Like, they have batteries. Like, I don't have to go move it once a minute.
Make sure you pull the chains back.
Pedal it with your feet.
Except your grandfather clock. That's the hand crank.
Right. Yeah, yeah. My mother just does have my grandfather's clock on her wall that, like, every night you would have to pull the chain.
Pull the weights, yeah.
Reload it, yeah.
Is that what, like, Socrates did? He just stood by a circle in the sun and just said, "Hey, guys, you know what time it is?"
That's a spot on Socrates,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He bandied about, "Hey, guys," a lot. Yeah.
Very, Sanders very casual. Is our go-to Socrates. Anytime we need to go there, we just toss it to him.
Yeah, someone set up Sanders for a Socrates.
Well,
he's been canceled, though. You can't say, "Hey, guys."
It
anymore.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's right, yeah.
In defense of Sanders, that's historically accurate. After he came back from Bill and Ted, he started talking like that.
There yeah. it is. Oh, that... That makes mm-hmm. total sense. Can you guys see my hole in one sign here?
Right. Ooh,
you can, just, yes.
All right, good.
Yes.
No big deal. I actually put it up intentionally. I was like, lean on. Oh, did I get a hole in one time? No big deal. Yeah.
Can we make that the night's question, Jet? Like, whatever we had before. Has anybody here had a hole in one?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's make that for the hour.
Super Legit Podcast, everyone. I am your host, Jet Kaufman, and once again, I have some of my favorite people in the world joining me in this room. Let's rattle them off real quick. We've got Josh Spence.
First among equals. Hello. Thank you.
Jen Burton.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Alex Rose Wiesel.
Am I one of your favorites or no?
Oh, well, let's see how the episode goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Stephen C. James.
I saw the list. Your name is on it. Mine, maybe that page didn't print.
Michael Hyman.
Oh, hi, Jet. Hey, I'm here. And co-hosting.
You are here. Yes. Yeah. Yep. I'm reading them in order and forgetting how our show
works.
We'll
circle back. It's okay.
We'll circle back. Yes. Yeah. We'll you're going to get double the love in this episode. That's how it's going to work.
Finally.
Sean Michael Boozer.
Are you looking at me?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Chris Compton.
Some of me is Jet's favorite.
Chris Sanders.
As Socrates said, "What's up, sluts?"
Classic Socrates,
oh,
man.
Classic Socrates. That's why he never wrote anything down.
And my co-host for this and every episode, Michael Hyman.
Oh, hi, Jet. Oh, hi. You talked to me earlier. Wait, so
did I catch you unawares?
Yeah, here I am. Hey, how are you, Jet?
So good to have you here.
He gets two hellos.
Yeah.
He does.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, hey. Hey, indeed, Michael Hyman. Hey, indeed.
Yeah.
So we do have a special guest this week. Who is it, Michael Hyman?
Jet, we absolutely do. Our guest, Eric Price. Eric is an actor and writer who's been featured on quintessential comedies like Reno 911, Workaholics, and Key & Peele. He was also a cast member on the iconic sketch show Mad TV. Eric is also a director and improviser playing with the renowned Old Milwaukee Crew. And you can listen and hear him right now on this podcast. Eric, welcome to the Super Legit Podcast.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. Oh my God. You know what? It's just nice to get the family together.
Gosh, so happy to have you join us on the show, Eric.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much. I love the show.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet to hear.
Absolutely.
Tell us more about how much you love us.
Well, let's start at the beginning. At the Briss.
Michael, as our co-host, you've got a thing you do at the top. What is it?
Sure do. It's asking a question for everyone to get a chance to come after. So this week's question, which comes from listener Hom Tanks, is... What's something you can't believe you actually got paid to do?
Is this to me?
It's so to everyone, me. But let's start with you. Yes, please.
We'd love to start with you, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, I will say
if you have one right off the bat.
The times that I did Reno 911 were absolutely gigs where I could not believe that I was being paid to do the thing that I fucking love the most with some of the most talented people in the world. I took a gig. This is right when I started improvising back in Milwaukee, and I worked, it was like through this local agency, and they hired me to, I went to a Jimmy Buffett concert. And they had me walk around interviewing people what they would do for a Margaritaville margarita maker, right? Oh my God. So, I mean, and I was like, and it was like good money. It was, or for me at 23 starting out or something, I think it was like 900 for the day. So I was like, this, I'm already fucking, I mean, beside myself.
I'd take that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would take that today as well. Yeah. So I show up, we get there at like 6:15 in the morning. So we had to leave like at 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that. But I'm walking around and I was like, I can't believe you're paying me for this, because I would walk up to people, the first three people that I walked up to, I was like, what would you do for a Margaritaville margarita maker? So these middle-aged women immediately are like, let me show you my tits. Like immediately. I'm 22, 23. I'm like, this is amazing. Then I find out after like the third, after like the seventh boob, because like one woman was half. But like I found out that afterwards they were like, we can't do any of that. And I was like, what? Well, then what the fuck the are point? We, what are we doing here? You know? And it was basically like, no, you know, something family friendly. I was like, at this Jimmy Buffett concert. Right. I wasn't familiar with parrot heads at all. I didn't know that there was this like subculture of like these middle-aged men living the dream. And so much sadness and rainbows.
Given your one line of dialogue, what's not family friendly about a margarita maker?
Exactly right. Right? Like, I mean, these people, you want to get loaded. You're already loaded at 7:14 in the morning. Yes. You know? I'm going to show you my tats. Like, yes. No, yeah, we can't do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it's like spring break at the DMV.
Like. Yeah. Very middle-aged spring break. Okay. Yeah. You know, like they're like, hey, check out my property. I also have pretty good insurance. But yeah, I found out a few minutes in that they were like, yeah, we can't do that. So it went from like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this, to what the hell am I supposed to do with the rest of this day? And it was like, oh, can you do a back bend? Can you do like, you know, it was like, what would you do for a Klondike bar family friendly garbage for the rest of the day?
Stupid gimmick tricks.
It was unbelievable. I did have two women that were like, we'll make out. And it was like, and this is where I realized, I was like, it went from, I can't believe I'm being paid for this, to I can't believe we haven't gotten enough. Like, we're still recording. You still want more? So I had these two women at the end of the day, and they're like, we'll make out. And I'm like, I looked right past the producer. I was like, I don't care. Yeah, do it. Yeah. Right. These girls made out. And then they were like, we're sisters. And I was like, it was awful. But like, Jimmy Buffett does it right.
Super.
Hi, I'm here to pick up my Margaritaville margarita maker. I showed my tits to a guy at the concert, and then also I killed a guy. And I just want to know when I'm going to get my
margarita maker. Oh, yeah, well, you waited in a long line to get up here. Because there's a lot of people. Look, you think you're special, but there's a lot of folks done murder people over the past.
Well,
past
I murdered him, but then I also just, I mean, like, I was real mean to him, too. Does that count for anything towards the maker?
Of course, yeah, if you're going to murder somebody. We don't take too kindly to folks who are murdering people kindly.
Okay, well, what else do I got to do to get this Margaritaville margarita maker? Because
you got to just make sure you checked all the boxes. When you showed your tits, did you also say woo, woo, woo or something along those lines?
I did. I said woo, 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 and then I showed him one tit, because that was tit number one. And then I said, oh, that's not good enough for you, bud. And then I showed him two tits. So technically, I showed him three tits. And then I showed him
a boob and beyond.
Yeah,
we like to see that around here.
Yeah, that's a 2.5-er. And I gotta say, killing a guy, you can tell. I'm 4'11". What am I? Not even a deuce. In terms of weight, and then I had to kill a guy. I had to jump on his back like an animal. I wrapped my little hands around his neck. He did not want to go. I tell you, it took about 6 hours of just me hanging on like a leopard. No, a
oh,
lemur.
Oh boy, that's longer than the Jimmy's concert lasted.
Sure
you,
is.
You're telling me you got one of them to you got one of them parrotheads to stick around long enough for you to hop on them and just ride them
for
6 hours?
None
of the other parrotheads around them had any problems with it?
No,
oh,
they,
right, because your tits was hanging out.
My tits, they were all focused on my tits. And then, and I was, you know, meanwhile, strangling the guy. And they didn't even blink an eye because both of their eyes were on my tits. So I'm strangling the guy. And he's trying to enjoy the concert still, even though I'm strangling him. Because that's what they're like, those parrot heads. And then eventually he dropped. And I dragged his body here. You can see right here. Let me just pull it up a little bit. And this is,
wow. You brought the evidence with you.
I sure did.
You know what? I've had a wonderful time chatting at you. I didn't even need to know all that information. What you need to do is you need to fill out this form here.
Okay.
And then you're gonna go three windows down, and you're gonna wait in that line, and you're gonna talk to a guy named Jerry. And Jerry's gonna be the one who's gonna be able to direct you to the correct window and the other set of forms you're gonna have to fill out to get your their Margaritaville margarita.
You know, I gotta say, the guy who interviewed me should have covered all this, because I don't think I would have shown 2.5 titties if I had to fill out forms and standing in line. I don't even know how much I'm gonna be paying for parking at this point. I've been here for 19 hours.
Did he not include a disclaimer?
No, he sure didn't. He just came up.
Single line of dialogue?
No, he said he just came up to me and he said, "What would you do for a Margaritaville margarita maker?" And that was when the tit came out.
Yeah. You here for the Daryl Hall juicer?
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? I just waited in a 7-hour line. Dragging a dead
very
body
popular.
Behind me.
They're very popular.
No, I want the Margaritaville margarita maker. That's what the guy told me to come. Is your name Jerry?
We're all named Jerry.
So you came here for a wishing well. Yeah, this is the Terrence Trent Derby window.
You
came here for the wishing well. You're 2.5 titties, y'all. Right?
Wait, what? A wishing well?
Wish me
what
love
is
a
that?
Wishing well.
Okay, let me ask you a question about the wishing well.
Uh-huh.
So what you're telling me right now is you will give me a wishing well?
Well, sure, I can install it. You know,
okay.
It's going to take up to 6 weeks, but, we're back ordered. Huh?
What if I wish in the wishing well for a Margaritaville margarita maker? Will one appear?
Well, no,
is
we're
it
talking.
Magic?
No, we're talking. It's kind of like when you ask the genie for all the wishes. You know what I mean?
And you ended
wishes.
Up here handing out wishing wells?
That's what I ended up doing. It was a
wow.
terrible choice.
That's a real not a great wish to wish. You could have wished for anything.
I could have wished for anything. And I'll tell you what,
no.
I never took creative writing. You know,
did
so
you
want to
do that?
It just kind of came out.
You know, you don't have to make a wish to do creative writing. You could just do that on your own right now.
No. What are you talking about?
You got a pen and a pad right there.
Well, you know, you don't know me.
Well,
you know
no, I know your name is Jerry.
Well, that's,
and I know that I've stood in line to meet you. Anyway, my point is...
I got
is,
six steeplers.
Mama, and that's how you and Papa met?
That's right.
That's right, kiddo. Oh, yeah. At the wishing well window.
And is that why my name is Margarita?
That's right. Your
that's right.
Full
that's why.
Name.
And we moved you to Britain.
That's right. And
what a lovely story.
Listen, you're always going to be my little Margaritaville margarita maker. That's your
you
full
sure
name.
Are. You sure are.
Yep. And so in the end, I got my. It just took three lines and me showing my tits to get my sweet. Sweet boy.
Well,
and your father wrote a whole novel about it.
I sure did, because they took creative writing finally. I didn't have to wish for it.
Didn't even have to make a wish.
And that's how you got your job at Oxford. Oh, it all makes sense now.
That's right.
I love you both so much, Mama and Papa.
We all love right. you too.
We Martin. Love you too now. Go hang
I
out with
you.
Mary Poppins.
What? Oh, is she here?
Yes, yeah.
She said she was never coming back after last time.
Well,
oh, thank you.
It's a lot of bed wetting. You gotta cut that out.
She said it was aggressive.
Aggressive
she said
bed
it wet.
Well, it was on her. It was on her. So, you know.
She shouldn't have stood so close. Like in that song from your friend Sting.
Wait, sitting so close?
Legit. Legit.
Yeah, it is.
Legit.
Right.
That kind of podcast.
The thing I was going to mention was connected to that because I worked on a cruise ship for Second City, which was like essentially just hanging out with the people who were waiting to talk to you at the Jimmy Buffett concert, because it is like what I discovered on that is that like a Jimmy Buffett is like the perfect simulation of a good time. And yeah. So you're watching like a bunch of aliens in human skin going, this is what we people enjoy. But like I worked, you know, a good like 4 hours a week, and was like, you know, by definition felt good about my choices in life, because everyone else I was surrounded by was like drunk and in their 50s.
Yeah.
And so like by like, I'm like, oh, finally I've been like retroactively validated by the people around me.
Did you didn't deal with any kind of seasickness or anything like that? You were fine with it.
Yeah, I was fine. I was fine.
So I know some people are like, they cannot, they got on the boat and realized, oh, I can't do this ever again.
And you don't find that out until you get on the boat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How can you know? How can you possibly know?
I mean, I'm sure there was a way to get on a boat beforehand, but yeah.
What did you do on the boat, Compton? Like, I've always heard about like the cruise thing. I thought that would be fun. What did you do?
You guys do short form? Is it like a bunch of short form games? Like,
right. Yeah. What is it?
It's a mix
because I'm never like going on a boat.
You do like a Second City greatest hit show.
Right.
Like plus like a bunch of like the Second City writing team got together and wrote some sketches about being on a cruise ship. And then you do like a short form improv show, and then you teach an improv workshop to 75 people at the same time.
Nice.
All of whom are kind of hungover and rocking back and forth.
Just drunkenly doing a mirror exercise.
We're pirates.
60s TV earthquake is happening. but no, it was a great job. Like I did it for 6 months and was like, this is great. Do you want to do another 6 months? Not at all.
How hard did you have to audition for that? Like,
I think Second City had their like momentary pang of guilt, of not giving a shit about everybody who was not in Chicago.
That wasn't momentary.
The guilt was momentary.
Not giving a shit continues to this day. Okay. Yeah.
But no, anyway, it came out and auditioned, and a bunch of people who were Second City LA at the time, like were paid for the only time ever to act. It was like this brief moment of people like, you are now of the 7 paid improvisers. And I won't say in the country because you actually have to leave like territorial waters to be paid to do improv.
There's still no one paid to do improv.
But no, it was a great job. There's like a weird like world of celebrity being the entertainment on a cruise ship, which is like, you are like, clearly I'm working at the restaurant you're going to in Miami once you get off this boat. But for now, we are the superstars of the boat. Yeah. Us, the magician, and the retired soap opera actor.
Ego on that guy, too.
That would have made it
good. You know, the ego on that soap opera actor is fucking sky high.
So we couldn't talk shit about it because there were other, you know, so we tried to be nice to the other, to the passengers, like, not talk shit about other acts. And there was this, like, woman from England who came, and my now wife was out, and those two like sort of made friends. They were hanging out, and she asked about the show, and I was like, it's a real Vegas show. That's my description of it. It's a real Vegas show. And like at the end of it, like he's a white actor. He plays Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh dear.
Billy Crystal. Don't touch Billy Crystal.
I
don't know and why then, I'm defending Billy Crystal.
And then, like, he's like, you know what? Hey, you know what? The frosting on a black face cake is to end with God Bless America. which he did because it got everybody to stand up and it would count as an ovation.
Super. Jet, I got to admit, I'm feeling a little bamboozled here. I thought we were going on, like, a brocation, doing the cruise together, having fun. But now you're telling me we have to go to this improv class because you think that's going to be your big break back into the industry.
Okay. How is it not going to be? I mean, realistically,
It's a cruise. Like, we're here to... Okay, go
ahead.
The
guy who produced Silver Spoons is going to be in the casting session. It's like, how is that not an opportunity?
Okay, like, you knew him when you were a kid. You think he remembers you?
Yes.
Come on.
My name still holds sway in this industry. Just because I haven't worked for 20 years doesn't mean if I don't show up, they're not going to go, holy crap, your name sounds vaguely familiar.
Which, by the way, I need it's part of my contract as your friend to tell you, thank you for being my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you
for reciting the dialogue that I gave you in the contract. You're going to have a good time here, too.
Shill in this. What do you want me to tell him? Like, you're great? Like, I think you're great anyways. I don't have to say that contractually, although contractually, you are great.
All I need you to do is laugh whenever I'm on stage. That's it. And nudge the people next to you and get them to laugh, too.
Okay. I mean, I think it's just a workshop of a bunch of people. It's not...
Yeah. It's a workshop, but, you know, I'll get up in there. You okay. know, it's always, like, you know, some volunteers. I sit in the front row. It's like he's going to automatically pick me because I'm just there.
All right, everyone, circle up. I know there's a lot of you. Some of you are, like, right up against the rails. It's okay. Just circle up here. We're going to get a nice big circle.
I can't breathe.
Yeah, everyone, just get in this big circle. There's like, you know, 100 of you. It's No. You're going to do a big circle. We're going to play Zip Zap Zop. And just big circle. Oh. We're all going to get a turn. You know, just make sure
I got a quick question before we get really into this. How can I tell if I'm seasick or if it was just too much bourbon last night?
It's probably both. Right. Hey, that's some of the classic
that
silver
was funny.
Spoons.
That's great. This guy's so funny.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we're gonna get, like, individual notes. Like, if I get up on stage, you're gonna give me individual notes and help me in improving my improv skills.
No, listen, I don't have any notes for you. You're perfect. What you're doing right now is just... Chef's kiss.
I did it.
Chet, get up there. Dude, go.
All right.
Another quick question.
Yeah.
So how do I know if it's the bourbon or the seasickness or the shrimp?
all three. Why not?
Comedies in threes.
This guy gets it.
God,
professor?
He's getting all the attention.
Oh, this guy gets it. Professor. The name's Ricky. I'm not a professor.
Professor Ricky.
Go ahead.
Do you remember Jet Kaufman?
Who?
Hey. Professionally, I was Jarrett Lennon. Josh, get this right. Ow!
Are you a forgotten John Lennon's son? Is that...
That was what we were trying to capitalize when we picked the stage name. Not officially.
Wow. It's quite callous of you.
Oh,
all right.
God. Okay. Oh, God. Stop laughing, Josh.
It was funny.
Everyone, here's how the game works. You just have to remember three words exclusively in that order. Zip, zap, and zop.
Zap.
Could I interject? In my country, zop means something not so good about my people.
She's right.
Oh.
But
she's right.
You were in opening to Step by Step, right?
Yeah. That was me.
Yeah, that's him. He's in my country. The Jet is a pretty big deal.
Wow!
I can't believe I take my time to learn American pastime improvisation on cruise ship, and I meet the Jet.
It's almost like the Jet should teach. You should teach Jet.
Oh, no. Hey. No, me, no.
You know what? Actually, listen, John Lennon's son. Come on over. Get in the middle. You take over the class.
Ow.
I'll go hit the bar early. Ow. I've already been paid. This is great, actually.
Okay.
Come on over. Hey,
go,
bro.
Go, Jet.
This is great for you. Come on.
It's happening for you. It's happening.
Just don't mess it up with my boy over here. He's a star. All right, I'm out, everyone.
Jet? Is it Jet?
It is from the class earlier. Yeah, I go by Jet to my friends, and then now you're all my friends.
Am I also your friend?
Yeah, absolutely, buddy. Absolutely.
That's the personal attention I was looking for.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. Was it Megan? Megan? We did the name thing, and I'm terrible with names. Is it Megan?
Of course you remember, Evan. Of course it's Megan.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, you probably recognize me. I'm a princess at Disneyland.
Which princess at Disneyland?
You can't tell?
A whole new world.
I have princess blindness. It's a thing. I don't track them very well. I'm so sorry. Please just tell me. I'd love to connect.
Sam knows it's Jasmine.
Oh, got it. Jasmine. Okay. All right.
A whole new world.
All right.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
A little bit
don't
of a.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Ethnically insensitive, but it's fine. Whatever. Yep.
Anyway, just from one famous person to another, I thought I should introduce myself.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, I have a carpet.
Oh, me too.
I have a carpet in my room.
Same.
Something to think about. I'm sorry, Jack.
No.
Silver spoon man. Silver spoons.
I actually that was the other guy, but that's fine. I'm gonna take over the reputation, you know. Yeah. Whatever it takes, you know. Me, who was the step-by-step intro guy who got edited out of the pilot, but it's fine.
Oh, so you're not really famous?
In circles. Did you watch Cheers? No, of course not.
This is going well, Jet.
Yeah.
No, I was born in 95.
Oh boy.
And so then I said to the guy, hey, wait a second. Hey, wait, do you recognize me? It's me, lead singer of the band Live. You were that kid in our video.
Of the Live music video, yes, Lightning Crashes. Oh my God, yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I haven't thought about that in a...
What are you doing here on an improv cruise of all places?
Oh, well, you know, as a band, like we do these nostalgia cruises all the time. Hey, I remember you from the audience. Oh, this guy's great. Sam's the best.
Thank you.
He came up and sang a couple songs with us last night.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I do like a Michael McDonald, but it's Louis Armstrong. It's the thing.
Yeah. He just nails it every time.
You don't know
so
me,
good.
But I'm your brother. And then it turns into Cosby. And it's not, then yeah, it's not so appropriate.
It was this guy. I mean, we did an encore set just of him, and the audience wanted a second one. It was so
good. Yeah, Sam seems like the star of the ship at this point. It's like,
actually.
Excuse me. I don't know who any of you are. I don't think anyone here is a household name. And I would just like to ask you, musician man from long ago, do you recognize me?
Is that me? Because I was singing with my mouth.
No, Sam, I know who you are. You were not famous.
Okay, I'm a ship.
He is ship famous at this point.
Royal in some way. You seem royal. Okay, there's something about you, but it's not like actual royal, like royal adjacent. You seem, ethnic in some way. I got it. You are Pocahontas.
Oh my God.
Did I get it?
Oh my God.
Did I, Ed from Live, get it?
No. No.
Sam, I'm sorry. Could you comfort that beautiful woman?
I told her I have a carpet in my room.
Let's go.
That's what my room is for.
It's such a good carpet.
I know, man.
I love carpet, right?
Jet. Oh, Meg, you just need to come back to my room and decompress.
This is going off the rails so much.
When are we going to Hollywood?
I don't think we're ever getting to Hollywood at this point. Also, that's not how ships work.
We're doing another 6 months on this ship?
Fuck it, yes. I've got nothing to go back to.
Don't mind me. I'm just watching from the back, but this is my Hollywood right now. Keep going.
Legit.
Speaking of Hollywood and paying the bills, Michael Hyman, we have a sponsor for this week's episode.
We sure do, Jet. You know we do. We definitely have a sponsor.
Great. Let's hear it.
Coming soon from the makers of Barg's Root Beer, Root Fear. A brand new calorie-burning beverage from your favorite root beer manufacturer, Barks. Yo. You remember back when Barks had bite? Well, now the bite will draw blood with Root Fear. Brewed in a dark, dank barrel down in the crypts of the Barks Root Beer Manufacturing Plant. Root Fear, now coming soon. It's the brand new beverage we're calling Sarsgorilla. Root Fear, the scariest drink you can ever drink. Bela Lugosi puts his stamp of approval on Root Fear, coming this October for all your Halloween parties, now with reduced curses.
Oh,
it's the best. Yeah. It is the best root beer.
I highly recommend it. They send us over a case of their Scream Soda. It's really delicious.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. I go back to your question because of the job yes. question? Yes. I also worked at County Stadium, which was a Milwaukee staple for baseball before it became whatever the stadium is now.
Miller Field?
Miller Park, yeah. Before it was Miller Park, it was County Stadium, and I worked the bark section.
What?
It was like a job that I worked 2 days. I was like, oh, this is actual fucking work. No, thank you. But they had the Barca loungers. So it was the last seats in the bleachers that you could sit on these big Barca loungers. It's the worst seat in the stadium, but like you got a lounge, you know, a recliner, and we just threw t-shirts. I did that for like 4 hours. I was supposed to be there 6 or something. I don't know. But that was another awesome. Job that I couldn't believe I got paid for. And then once again, it was like, oh, it's work, though.
What
I don't
was
like
your t-shirt thrown to tit ratio?
Not nearly enough. Is that a number? Is that a number? Not nearly enough. I wish I got a 2.5, though. I wish I got a 2.5, too.
The number of guys in those seats who just the shirt kind of rolls up.
Yeah, just unfortunate. Yeah.
Yay! Yeah. I'm throwing this t-shirt to you as a suggestion.
It only comes in triple XL.
Please wear it. Please wear it.
There's a running theme of jobs in which you discovered you were supposed to have fun.
Yes. I thought it was just easy peasy, but yeah.
I mean, there's another theme here. One that comes to mind for me was when I filmed She's All That, which I think that was back in 98 that I did that. And
what?
I had a small role across several scenes in that film. And the reason this one ends up being so suited to this is for a few hilarious reasons. My first day of filming was this big scene where Jodie Lynn O'Keefe and I'm blanking on the other main character. You know, they meet in the hallway.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. They have the standoff. They take a photo and then she rushes off. And I'm holding a bunch of flyers for Lainey, for Homecoming Queen, you know, her rival. And she crashes into them and the flyers go flying. And then I turn to my other nerd friends and I go, I think I touched her boob. And so this is the first day of filming. Jodie Lynn O'Keefe was a sweetheart. She was great. She was great to work with. And, you know, I'm trying to be super respectful because obviously I'm not going to actually, you know, put my hand in any awful place for her or anything that makes her uncomfortable. And the director after the first rehearsal is like, no, make sure that you get your hands up there so that they definitely touch her boob. And the 16-year-old me is like, okay, I'll follow the director's instructions. So that was day one of I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. But then we had to film this. There's this gigantic party scene, this huge, huge, you know, high school party. That's of course, you know, the kind of thing that only happens in movies. And it's like in the Malibu Hills, this ridiculous mansion that they rented out for this. And due to the production schedule of all of this, they paid me for the week because they figured, okay, we're going to need 2 days there. We're going to need the one day that I already did. So we're going to pay you weekly rate. And so I go in for the second day. I sit in my dressing room waiting to be called. I sit in my dressing room waiting to be called. I sit in my dressing room waiting to be called. The whole day is just going past. And eventually they're like, all right, we're going to have to cut production. Half of the crew quit and they fired the other half.
What?
And they there was this whole big thing. I think there was union issues, all of it. It was, and so they ended up having to reschedule the entire thing for the next week after they resolved their crew issues. And so I got paid for an additional week because that's how the contract is like you're paying on a weekly rate. So even though I only had to come back for one more day where I got to like hit on Lil Kim in a scene and like all this other stuff that
raise a boob and graze a boob, yeah, right? You're raising a boob.
Right, yeah. Virtually everything else got edited out, but the I think I touched her boob line stayed in there and I get remembered for it to this day and I got paid. Like,
I'm gonna look that I'm gonna watch you I'm gonna watch that movie just for you, Jeff.
It's the best scene in the film. Yeah, that's it.
So
yeah. So yeah, that I cannot believe I got paid as much as I did for that.
Do they all have to be boob centered? Because I can try to figure out one.
It just
I'm so sorry.
No, I started it. No, no, I'm not. You're totally mistreating my tone. I was trying to rack my brain for a time that I got paid to do something that was boob oriented. Just keep us on track.
Back when I was a plastic surgeon and I performed boobotomies all the time. Boobotomies.
Oh, highly medical term. Yes.
Yes. Josh, you got a thing?
Yeah. Yes. So this may or may not be boob related. We'll see.
Oh, no. Oh,
we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So seems like when I was working as a butcher, I would get in at like 3 or 4 in the morning and work till like noon to 1. And then I'd have like basically the whole day. So during that time, I used to go to see a lot of Jimmy Kimmel recordings where they would do like tapings rather of like the musical act. So I would go, you know, they have that little concert section. And I got to see so many people for free, right? I got to see like the Foo Fighters a couple times, Slayer, Alice in Chains, and I went so much that on their special booking thing, they made me like a priority member. So they were like, I got a priority thing of like, do you want to see? And for me, it was a big deal. Do you want to see Van Halen on Hollywood Boulevard? What? And I like clicked right away, and it was their first time ever on network TV. So I can bring a guest. So. I told my dad, I was like, go ahead.
Which Van Halen? Can we be clear?
With David Lee Roth.
Is it Hagar Van Halen?
No, it's...
Or is it David Lee Roth when he came back?
It's when he came back. It's the real cut of Van Halen. Yeah. So I told my dad, go ahead.
But wait, I have trouble getting my head around the fact that it was Van Halen's first time on network TV.
Yeah.
And it was on Jimmy Kimmel.
They've been on network TV 3 times. The first time was Jimmy Kimmel. The second time was the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And the third time was the American Music Awards. And that was it.
So what did they do during the previous time when they were famous?
They were too cool
MTV?
Touring the world.
It was all MTV.
On cable, yeah.
Wow.
So I got a plus one. I told my dad, because they were very strict. They're like, we're going to fill up the whole boulevard. You need to be there at 1. So, like, I was already... I left work at like 10. I got there on time.
You were a butcher.
Just
to go back.
A long time.
I'm just learning so much about you guys.
Yeah. Oh. I got a lot of those fun stories.
Please say you like went with your bloody apron, like, hey.
I almost did. I drove to the 24-hour fitness where I was a member of, took a shower there, got changed. I was the third person in line. I got there so early. Right. And I don't care. I'm camping out, right? And I'm just standing there, and I call my dad. I was like, hey, I'm already here. He's like, well, I'm at work. I was like, you got to be here. Fuck work. Right? And we're in line, and the hours are passing, and it's like 2:00, and now it's like the line is – it's so long. And Eddie Van Halen, like the guitar god, one of my heroes, comes out, and he starts looking around, and he's talking to like the one iota people, and he was like – how come there isn't a spread for the people that are going to come see us? And he's like, well, these are people that we just usher in. You know, we don't really, he's like, this is our first time on network television. We said we would have this for our people. And he goes, unless you know this story, it's like the M&M thing all over again. Fuck. And the guy was like, well, we'll try to take care of it, Mr. Van Halen. And like, he walks away. Eddie Van Halen, of all people, who I was just gobsmacked to see as a guitarist, pulls out just like the thickest gangster wad of cash.
Yeah.
And he's walking. Hey, man, thanks for coming. I know you're a fan. Handing out
dollars?
Eddie Van Halen gave me $100 to be at his fucking show.
What?
He went 35, 45 people deep. He was like, sorry there isn't food. Go get fucking drunk after this show. It's on me.
What an excellent story. Oh,
and then we got so in. Great. I was like.
Did your dad ever show up?
Yeah. He was like,
He showed up at like 5 o'clock.
So he didn't get $100.
He was like on Beverly Glen, the dumb fuck. I was in the first row center and I got paid $100 to see Van Halen, getting paid by Van Halen.
Van Halen.
That's cool. Wow. And amazing.
Then the first song comes out and David Lee Roth is doing all his karate stuff with his microphone, breaks so his nose.
Ridiculous, dude.
So they took another 15 and he's like, it's not rock and roll unless there's some blood involved. Hey, hey. They go stitch him up.
So full of coke.
Right. And just, so like, So I get to see.
That nose felt nothing.
Van Halen just jam, just proggy, just jamming for 20 minutes until they did like their, what you would consider like their 20 song classic Van Halen set. And I got paid for that.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Oh my god. Pretty fun.
Wait, was he paying people who were already in line for the show?
Yes.
To come see the show.
Yes. Because he felt bad that
he was paying them as an apology because there wasn't food.
Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah.
Because there wasn't because he was like,
buying their forgiveness.
He was like, there's no beer, no fucking Jack. What are we doing here? I was like, this is my hero. Sorry, Dave Grohl. It's Eddie Van Halen right now.
Super!
I'm not sure if just a long line if this is the right window. I have an IOU from Eddie Van Halen.
Ah, yes. Hi, I'm Jerry. You came to get one of the Van Halen Econo vans.
We're all Jerry. Back here.
Cool. I did come to get what I'm owed.
I'm so sorry. There's no more vans. They all skedaddled out of here earlier. We're fresh out of vans.
Are you kidding me? I have.
No, we had a run on vans.
Do you understand the sheer just gift that I thought fell into my lap, that the universe was finally smiling on me? I have a family.
I'm sorry, sir.
As a dad, I have a garage band, and we have no mode of transportation.
Oh, I am so sorry. You want to talk to my manager, Gary? Because I can pick you up.
I can help you out. I can help you out.
Okay, Jer. Did you want to, like, does this IOU not say, from me, Eddie Van Halen?
I think we're having a literal issue. Like, we're having a real literal issue. I don't know if they want to give you a van.
But then it says, please enjoy a van. A literal van.
I didn't read it all the way through. Shit, get this guy a van.
I like Jer, like I said, Jer, roll out of vans, Jer. We had a run on the vans.
I just overheard you guys, just to let you know.
What's going on, Jerry?
Oh, just to let you know, there's no line down at the Camper Van Beethoven line there. And they're giving away free copies of the movie Beethoven.
Okay, I mean, as all things being equal, that's not a bad runner-up gift. But I really would...
Are you interested in a runner-up gift?
Sure, if you have a better runner-up gift than the movie Beethoven...
I got some checkerboard skate shoes back here. If you want, you
hey,
go with that.
Ever heard Bam 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 Bam? Look what I got. My kid came to the office. He visits me. It's a little Matchbox 18 van. It's a van from 18.
Listen, I know I'm just a trainee, but maybe I can help. What's the deal here? My name's Jerry.
Legit.
All right, Steve and C. James, if you can breathe, I want to hear what you've got.
Okay. Well, like most of us, it's an acting thing. Because I feel like weird. All of us, when we get paid to act, it is always a little bit like...
I can't believe it's happening.
Really? Yeah. Cool.
Right, yeah.
I've been doing this for free for so long.
For real.
And literally, there was a show... There's a show. I'm actually just now in late April. I'm going back to do this show again, or a similar show for legal purposes. It is a very different show. But there's a kid show that I used to do at Second City, it was a great show for kids, and it was a short form show, and it was so much fun because the audience, it's a bunch of kids, and they're so excited, and like I would leave that show like sweating. Just like drenched with sweat from the exertion. And I was doing it Saturday morning, and it was completely 100% no pay because it's improv in Los Angeles. Well, then I'm pretty sure you guys heard about this. There was a giant global pandemic that shut the world.
Oh,
right.
Right.
I remember that.
And so, yeah, we all heard about that, right? We were there for that. And so they contact me and they're like, hey, we're going to start doing the show online. And I was like, great, that sounds awesome. I'd love to do it. And they're like, oh, and we're going to pay you. And I was like, fuck, this is why I'm bad at negotiating. And so they started paying me.
Shouldn't have said yes so fast.
To do the show. Yeah. The show that I always did for free, they were now like, now we're going to give you money to do it, but you don't have to drive to Hollywood. Yo. You don't have to go to Hollywood.
$12
you don't
to
have
park
to be in Hollywood.
In the back lot.
Yeah. You get to be in your house. And not even in the part of the house where the rest of your family is. You get to be privately in your house, quiet, like in the garage, and have an hour in front of your computer having the most fucking fun in the world. And we're going to pay you for one show more than you've been paid in aggregate for all the improv you've done over the past 20 years.
We're talking 20. Yeah,
we're talking
minutes.
The mid single digits.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
upward of $97.
So hold on. Let me actually do some quick back of the envelope math. For that show, so the last time I got paid to do improv prior to that show was Compton and I split $5 after a buddy of ours was doing an indie show. And he was like, I'm sorry, this is all you guys got. And Compton and I were like, $5? We can share a Diet Coke. We're kings of the world. And then this show, they paid me $350 for the first show, and it went up from there. And I was just like, this is the best. I love this so much.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
I can't believe you're still doing this podcast.
Right.
Really I give you $5.
I mean, you could have retired to Van Nuys by now. Oh man, you could have like
the Van Nuys dream. We all have it.
I'm living it.
And that money dried up, by the way, so fast. Yep. I think them paying me that money is the reason Second City had to close down the Hollywood. They're like,
you're the one.
We paid
son of a bitch.
We paid an improviser west of the Mississippi. We could no longer keep that theater alive.
It's crazy that you're not paid out here for it. It's bonkers to me. When I first moved out here, I was like, wait a minute. So I'm performing for free everywhere? Like it was just it was I couldn't believe it. I mean, obviously I've
continue
adjusted. I've adjusted.
Right. Yeah. They broke you down. Yeah.
Oh man, it used to be 100 a show. 100 a show every time. Yeah.
Oh
man,
my
it was
God.
Rough. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Oh, I will say off of off of yours, I also had like a pandemic love story of making money for something that was exceedingly easy.
Nice.
I started hosting on QVC over Skype, selling neck flashlights.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Selling what?
Neck flashlights that go around your neck. Because when you need a flashlight, you need to use your hands.
And you want it around your neck. You want it around your neck.
And you want it around your neck. And it, you know, pivots and holds in place. So, you know, one goes on my dog's paws, the other one goes on my feet. I can see and be seen. Anyway, that was another gift like that, like a pandemic gift that I never would have gotten to work for QVC had it not been
awesome.
A global pandemic.
Oh, very cool.
That is really awesome.
That and again, way more money than for like a 5-minute slot. Crazy money.
Yeah.
Can we drop in the episode description a link to these neck flashlights?
Oh, please.
Bump up your QVC.
I have terrible news for everyone. They have been discontinued.
Well, strangulation. What? People die.
Yeah, but they were easy to find, Eric. Right.
It turns out that these 300-pound neck flashlights were not as successful.
And that's all that matters. Was they were easy to find.
And people use them to repair their car engines.
It
and
stayed on theme because I'm assuming if it hangs around your neck, the flashlight dangles dangerously close to boobs.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, oh, we're back.
You've brought it.
There we go.
And
they
caught
a lot of people.
Burn boobs. Boob burns.
A lot of people use those flashlights to autoerotically asphyxiate themselves.
There we go.
I love the way Sanders brought that back, because time is just a flat Oreo.
There we go.
And when they hung themselves with those flashlights, they absolutely were like going towards the light.
Yes.
Like, that was so stupid.
A lot of light reference.
I hated myself just for stopping everything to say that.
I watched the self-hatred wash over your face as you got further.
I was so mad at myself. I was like, this is not a good bit.
But
you were already in it.
No, we'll upload that one. This is all
thanks, guys. Thanks. Just that clip.
Yeah, that's it. That'll be our TikTok teaser.
We talk about
no big deal.
We'll probably mention regret in the next episode.
I guess I'm coming back then. Yeah. All right. Exactly.
Josh, I know you've got something else percolating.
Yeah, this is another one of who says improv doesn't pay. I was apprenticing under one Bill Cott. He was teaching me how he teaches. So I was like his villain sub. And
I'm kidding. I fucking love Bill Cott.
Right? He's the best.
It's great.
One of the times he was like, "Hey, I got a job for you." I was like, "Oh, great! What are we doing?" He was like, "Well, I've booked a bar mitzvah that we're going to do a whole bunch of short form stuff for like an hour. Do you want to do this?" I was like, "I've never done short form." He's like, "I know how you play. You'll be fine. Just go in." I was like, "Okay, sure." So he's like, "Here's the meeting, and we'll meet up with everybody, and we'll go over it, and then you'll do the party." I was like, "Okay, great." I show up there, and what I know now, it was like everybody from like West Side's Mission Improbable program, and then me. So they're talking about games, they're talking about this, and who's going to come out and introduce, and blah 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 blah. It was like, if I remember, it was like Rendell Leatherman and like Rick Baker, Roland Lopez. Atul Singh, a couple other guys. Just, I was like, they're just whipping it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I got this job out of pity because Bill likes me. Okay. And I said, I'll go last. You guys do all of them. I'll do like the second to last or the last game, and we'll bury me there. They go, "Oh, great. Sure." So we show up. It's in Calabasas. They rented out this huge... It was, I kid you not, it was for like 300 people.
You cut off
people.
The beginning of the word "duh" and I was going to go "dungeon"? It sounded like you were going to say "dungeon."
No, it was a dining hall.
Okay.
300.
Less interesting, but fine.
Okay, it was a dungeon. Whatever.
All right, I'm in.
It was a dungeon. 300 people. This huge party. People of all ages. We come out from the kitchen. We're all getting, amping up the crowd. Doing this all. I'm just standing there for like... The whole show, they're doing all the short form games, and it's getting closer to me. It's getting closer to me. It's getting closer to my intro. I'm like, I'm gonna tank this in front of 300 people. This is not gonna go good. And like, I my voice is cracking then as it is now. I'm just like, this is the worst. Rich hands me the microphone. I go to grab it. I'm getting ready to do my game, and as I get up there, like the mom. She whispers in my ear, "We got to cut it short. The cake's here. Give me the microphone." I go, "Here you go." She grabs it. She says, "That's it for our improvisers. Can we give them a hand, please?" They applaud us all off. I got paid $300 to watch Mission Improbable at a bar mitzvah for an hour.
Wow.
The best.
That's amazing.
Nice.
I had candy bars whipped at me at a bar mitzvah once. I was like,
"What?"
We had fucking candy bars whipped at us when we were doing
that's
a bar mitzvah.
That's tradition. That's actually tradition.
We walked out. Like there were like three shows that I ever walked out on, and one was definitely a bar mitzvah. These kids were like, "Do something else." I was like, I'm gonna walk out.
You mean that's, New
that's
Choice?
The next game is called
New Choice.
Yeah,
new
Choice.
New Choice.
It was New Choice. It was New Choice. And I was like, I'm gonna walk out with pride.
Nougat choice.
There we go.
Now who's filled with regret? Me.
Nougat
is what it is.
Nougat.
That's real though. They do throw candy at you when you get bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were whipping.
I said,
hit the strong arms. Temple. Yeah.
Like having, when I was in college, there's this bar restaurant called the Laughing Lizard Lounge.
God.
Alexandria, Virginia.
That's where the funny
Arlington,
goes to die.
Arlington. Yeah. Oh man.
It's no chuckle. Like,
oh Jesus.
We had like a regular like Saturday show there, and people would have their bachelorette party.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are you here? Like, what is it that has failed in your life that your bachelorette party is at a place called the Laughing Lizard Lounge, mm-hmm. and you're watching a college improv group not at a college, which means you've made a terrible choice. That's like eating like college cafeteria food at a restaurant. Like, no, you don't have to do this. You have other choices. But yeah, they were those crowds of like just throw drinks on the stage.
And they're sucking on their penis straws. Be fatty. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're my Jerry character. They're all just Jerry. Yes. They're all just a bunch of drunk Jerry.
Yeah. How did your interaction with me become the least dignified thing you did all night? I think I would have yearned for the 100 grand bar.
Yes, yes.
During some of those. At least I would have gotten the candy.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good candy.
And if they throw it hard enough, you could be knocked unconscious.
Hey, super.
Mr. Lennon Kaufman, it's your best friend. Josh, I just wanted to tell you...
I'm familiar.
That there's somebody here that wanted to see you after the show. Do you want me to let them in?
Give it 10 seconds. Let them breathe.
Okay. Well, she says that you know her. So,
okay. A lot of people say that, but let's find out.
Okay. Here she is.
Surprise!
Oh, it's you again. Oh, and Sam too. You both came. Oh, that's
We're married.
Great. We got married last week.
Oh my god!
Totally got married last week because I was like, "You want to have sex?" She's like, "Not till we're married." And I was like, "Let's get married."
And we were like, married.
Right, because there's no contraception on the ship. Oh.
No, there's no sex before marriage.
Yes. That's exactly right. But now there's so much.
Sex after marriage.
So much sex after marriage.
I am so happy that I could have been a part of getting you two together on this amazing ship that we've got another, five months and 2 weeks on.
We're just excited to see you. We didn't realize that we didn't get your autograph last time.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, I'll sign.
Can you sign my boob?
Of course.
Can you sign her boob?
Yeah. Yes, I was going to ask, but I'm glad you offered. It's way more, way less awkward that way. All right.
I'll hold it up.
Okay, here we go.
Because one of them looks like a fried egg on a nail. Yeah. And the other one is very pert.
Which one do you want?
This one we call teardrop titty.
Yeah, you want that one?
I want that one. I'll take that one. Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to use, I've got a gold Sharpie, I've got a silver Sharpie, I've got classic black. What do you want?
Ask the lady.
Gold, like the lamp.
Okay. All right. Gold it is. Okay. All right. Best of all to you from Jarrett Lennon, a.k.a. Guy from Step by Step Intro.
That's good cursive.
Thank you. Yeah. I practiced that a lot. Yeah, you got to get that down.
People don't do that anymore.
Sir, I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Lennon Kaufman, these matte sharp Sharpies, you don't ever want to use them on human skin. Okay, just make sure you never use these on human skin. There's a reason they asked him. There's a reason he left Weezer. Don't use these Sharpies on human skin. Okay, Mr. Lennon Kaufman?
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the shows that I used to be in that I was edited out of. Sharpies. Sharpies, great. Thank you.
My wife is going into anaphylactic shock.
All I'm saying is it could have been the shrimp. It could have been the shrimp. There's a lot of shrimp on board, and most of it's bad.
Sweetheart, talk to me. Look at what you did.
I'm the ship's equivalent of a doctor. Is there somebody who needs help?
Are you like Gopher?
Yes, okay. I think. Maybe. You are the person who has a medical condition, correct?
I do. I have diabetes. What? Oh, her. Oh. Yeah. Oh, she's also.
Okay. So you see there's a sort of small boat-shaped stretchers hanging on the side of the bay. You just get in there.
We already talked about her left one. Oh, one.
Sorry. I mean, just get in the lifeboat. Get in the lifeboat. Okay. We just get you in, and down we go. And bon voyage.
Sweetheart.
Treatment find you wherever you go.
They just put us adrift. They just set us adrift.
Oh.
Just pretend I'm not here. I'm in lifeboat because this is my Hollywood right here.
Legit.
There he is. I was so hoping he was coming back. I really wanted him to come back.
And that's how we end an episode.
We all saw that checkered flag podcast at the end of the race, right?
Yes.
He's always sitting in both.
Michael Hyman, do your thing.
Thank you, as always, to Matt Walker for our intro and outro music. This episode was hosted by Jet Kaufman, edited by Jet Kaufman and Chris Sanders, and co-hosted by me, Michael Hyman. Every scene you heard today was improvised on the spot, along with some of the ads, with only a light touch of editing for your comfort. If you're loving what we're doing, pause real quick, write a 5-star review before you close the app, and tell your friends about us. Tonight's cast included Josh Spence, Jen Burton, Alex Rose Wiesel, Stephen C. James, John Michael Boozer, Chris Compton, Chris Sanders, and our very special guest, Eric Price. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric. Do you have anything you want to plug? Places you want to tell people to find you and follow you and watch you?
I don't care.
No.
The right answer in 2024. Yeah.
Eric P19, I guess, on Instagram. I don't really, I've got some stuff coming up, but nothing great.
Very relatable, actually.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Listen, it's not great. Don't put too much effort into it.
The things I can believe I was paid for.
I'm not real good at self-promotion. Yeah.
We might have to throw you a few more bones and bring you back on the show so you have something to look forward to.
Right. I'll plug something.
That's great. Perfect. Yeah. All right. That's it, guys. Oh my god, this is wonderful. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you, guys.
Jet, where do I take this cost? I got a coupon for a Matt Walker assisted mobility device.
We're
about to hear Matt Walker's music, right?
Down the hall, that? Past the argument room, left door. Talk to Jerry.
Okay, great.
I don't believe anything's on. Oh, my time. I kick the door on its hinges just so I could move on. Oh, 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 oh.
I have to exchange a little bit of industry nerd cred with you, Eric. Obviously, you did an entire season of Mad TV, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I did 2 episodes of Mad TV.
Did you do it in the death rattle when I was on?
No.
It's death rattle when nobody gets to talk?
No, quite the opposite. I was in the pilot.
Get out of here. Wow. Jet, I mean, I had no fucking idea. You're in like these crazy.
For
the record, Jet is Brian Callen.
They're all gone 20 years ago. Wow. But yeah, no, I did the pilot, and then I did, they brought me back later in the first season. But yeah, and it's the craziest thing, because I only started doing improv like 8, 9 years ago.
I remembered like seeing you hit the scene, and you were like, what is this?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I spent so many years like terrified of improv, because like I was fascinated by it. I was like, I can't do this. And every time I look back at experiences that I had during my acting career, I was doing improv without realizing it, including when I got cast for Mad TV. Literally, I go into the audition room with Fax Barr and Adam Small there, and they were like, hey, you're a homeless kid who just found like the last remnants of a hamburger in a wrapper. Just eat it for us. And I was like, all right, I just ate the remnants of a hamburger. Yeah, and then I was
like, that's a weird audition, dude.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Are you sure you were in a studio? Or take your pants
outside. I like what you're doing, kid, but make it funnier.
Yeah. Come to think of it, they had just seen me standing at a bus stop.
That's right,
Cry while you eat it.